Well, here we are. We've arrived at the end of yet another year. This is the last Sunday in 2019. Can you believe it? We start a brand new year on Wednesday, the year 2020. Whenever I hear the year 2020, I always go back to when I was a kid reading science fiction novels and books, and everything in the future was 2020 or, you know, somewhere down that line. And it's interesting to see how the things that they talked about way back when occurring in the future, how some of those things have actually come to pass, which is incredible. Where has the year gone? Where will this next year find us? God has certainly been good to us in 2019. Will we trust him to be good to us in 2020? Trust we will. This is the time of year to look back and remind ourselves of all that we have been through and to praise the Lord because we are still here alive after all at the end of the year. We need not look back in regret, although I am sure that there are some things we wish we hadn't done, or sorry that we hadn't done the things that we really wanted to get done. We've all probably made some mistakes in the course of the year, perhaps bad choices. But remember, as Christians, we can confess our sins before a holy God and find forgiveness and cleansing from those sins by his gracious and merciful hand. So no regrets when we look back. Lessons learned, hopefully, but no regrets. We have the hope now to do maybe better in the new year. But it is a wonderful experience, I think, to look back and to see how many times God has provided for us and how he has led us, and to see how many things in 2019 we have been able to do by faith in order to please the Lord. That has been our theme for 2019. Everything by faith to please God. Our theme verse was Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6 was our theme verse, but we've also coupled it along the way with verse 5. And the example that we have is that of Enoch, the Old Testament saint Enoch. So look at verses 5 and 6. Excuse me, of Hebrews chapter 11. We read, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him," that is God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And so we have sought in 2019 to do everything by faith, personally, corporately, everything, all decisions, every thought that we had, we wanted to couch it in faith so that we might please our Heavenly Father. So we acknowledge that we are saved by grace, through faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, I think, that says that one who serves God, a steward of the Lord, must do so faithfully. He must be found faithful. And so we even serve the Lord Jesus by faith. We give our tithes and our offerings to Christ through the local church by faith, trusting him that as we honor him with our tithes and offerings, he will then provide for our needs. Everything should be by faith. And the ultimate goal is to please God. I suggest that it is our highest priority as believers, even as creatures, to please the Lord who has created us. Here's just a couple of verses that might solidify that thought in our thinking. Hebrews 13:16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." He is well pleased. The word communicate there is the Greek word koinonia. It means to share together, to fellowship, or to partner. So to do good is part of our sacrifice, as it says here in this verse. To do good and to communicate are sacrifices made unto the Lord for his pleasure. He's well pleased with those things. So to do good, we're not saved by good works, but we certainly are saved to do good works. And then to communicate or to fellowship one with the other, to partner and share one with the other in life and help in various needs. Those are the things that God is well pleased with. And may they continue in our lives. Let's not forget Revelation 4 verse 11 as well. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." The word pleasure there is a different Greek word. It's the Greek word thelema, which normally gets translated as the word will, the will of God, thelema, or desire. But I think the translators got it right, because when God's will is being enacted, when his desires are being put into place, that gives him pleasure, right? Pleasure comes from seeing his will accomplished, it seems to me. So the word pleasure is a pretty good translation for this word. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So all things have been created for the pleasure of God, and that includes you and me, right? You were created to be the pleasure of Almighty God. And now, according to the scriptures, we can please God by living by faith every moment of the day and every aspect of our life. And we know that by living by faith, it will please God. And that's what we want to do. And I don't know about you, but that to me is just awesome. That God would create us for his pleasure and then give to us the means to live a life that would also be pleasing to him. So how was 2019 for you? A good year, bad year, so-so. We're all a year older. This past year had been a little tough physically for myself, but the Lord's seen us through a number of things, and I thank him for that. Has your faith been strengthened? Have you been able to exercise your faith throughout this year? And remember that just because 2019 is soon over is no reason to give up faith in our daily living, right? You have been exercised by faith, and of course, things that we exercise get stronger and stronger. And so your faith should be strong at this point in the time of year, strong enough to keep it going, even into a brand new year. So never give up on faith. It is the thing that pleases God. Now, on Wednesday, we start a new year. It's just a calendar date because, you know, life just goes on, but Wednesday is the start of a new year. Did you ever think that we'd ever see the year 2020? It almost sounds science fiction-y, doesn't it? 2020. Well, science fiction novels have told us about the future and what it would be like. Obviously, some things haven't panned out. After all, we are not driving around in flying vehicles like the Jetsons today. Mankind has not really improved in character or morality. Now, back when I was a teenager, the Fifth Dimension used to sing a song called Aquarius. And it was the age of Aquarius, and everything was going to be great, and there was going to be unity and love throughout the whole globe and all the world. I don't think we see an inkling of that today. If anything, mankind has regressed such that what was once evil is now considered good, and what was good is now seen as evil. Did you ever think that you would see a day in which marijuana would be legalized in Canada? Recreational cannabis? A hallucinatory drug? I think far different than just smoking tobacco cigarettes. We have that today. Same-sex marriage, you ever think that we would ever see anything like that? Not in the past, but it is today. And everything that was considered good is now seen as evil. What was evil is now considered good. And you better not say anything about it to anybody. Otherwise, you will offend their feelings and maybe get fined by the Human Rights Commission or something. Such a different world in which we live today, and really off kilter from what it should be. God has been pushed out of our society, out of everything in our society, and I believe we are the poorer off for it. Most people cannot see the downward slide that this world is on. They think that everything is going well. But Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 or 6, that in the last days, everything is going to fall apart. Love of many will grow cold, and so on. They're going to leave off the faith. Today we may not have the kind of robots that science fiction books wrote about. Did you ever see the movie Lost in Space? And the big robot that always, danger, danger, Will, danger. It was kind of a fun thing. But we don't have those kinds of robots around today, but we do have robots that are taking over some tasks in manufacturing and in household chores, eliminating the need for human jobs. They got robots to do it. You've heard of Roomba? A robotic vacuum cleaner. How many have one? Does it work? Yeah? Okay, so there you go. Does it follow a pattern or just go wherever it wants? Wherever it wants. Do you test it by throwing stuff on the floor to see if it'll find it? Roomba, who would have thought? A robotic vacuum cleaner. One thing that has come to be is that in the area of communications and technology, you all have, well, most people have a watch on their wrist, right? I have one on my wrist to tell me what time it is. I don't even have a calendar date on it, just the time. Well, a watch used to be intended to tell us the time, but not anymore. Old science fiction stories had people communicating both visually and audibly on their wristwatches. Remember Dick Tracy? You know, he could communicate with his watch back and forth. Today, in a sense, that technology is a reality. My grandson Noah, they showed up on, came over on Boxing Day for Christmas, and the first thing in the door after he gave me a hug was to show me this new watch he got. It's an Apple Watch. This watch will do anything and everything. It will. It can be a phone. You can talk through it. There's audio. Some models have a video chat, although he didn't have that on his because he couldn't afford the next one up. It's a health measuring device. It's an appointment calendar, a camera, a recorder, a web browser. It can do just about anything. The one thing that it can't do is vacuum your floors. It's not a Roomba. It's an Apple something or other. Watch. So a new year is upon us. What will 2020 be like? I mean, we've seen some amazing things down even in the last 10 years become just normal in our life and society. Just think what by the end of this year, what it's going to be like. How will we get on in this new year? What things will be important for you and me in 2020? Well, I've been thinking about the year 2020, And the number struck me as significant, and I think I've mentioned it to a few of you along the way, 2020. We often use that number in terms of our eyesight to indicate a perfect vision, right? 2020, perfect vision. So I thought about a new theme for 2020 and perfect vision, picking up off of the 2020. And here's what I came up with for this new year. Perfect vision, the best to see, my eyes on Christ in 2020. Oh, I see some heads nodding, some snickers. Perfect vision, the best to see, my eyes on Christ in 2020. The year 2020 should be the year of perfect vision. It just seems to go together. So why not emphasize that for a theme for our years? And how do we relate that spiritually to our lives so that we have 2020 spiritual vision? Well, I have a couple of ideas, and we'll look at one or two this morning, and then we'll get some others throughout the course of this new year. For now, just let me have you turn back to Matthew chapter 14 in the few minutes that we have left this morning. This is a familiar story in the scriptures. I always hesitate to use the word story when we talk about the Bible because some people think that it's just a made-up fairy tale kind of thing. This is a record of an actual event that's been put into our scriptures, an account, if you would. So you scan over verses 22 to 33 again, and I'll just kind of summarize it and come to a point. This is the familiar account of Jesus walking on the water. And we read it a little bit earlier. He has just finished feeding the 5,000 with five loaves and two small fish. 5,000 men besides women and children, we're told. They all got fed up in that meal. They all were full with what they had. And in fact, the disciples were able to collect up 12 baskets full of leftovers. And that was a marvelous miracle from the hands of the Lord to take care of the needs of those folks who had gathered around to listen to him teaching. After they had all finished eating and the leftovers had been collected, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a boat and go to the other side of the lake, of the sea, while he sent all the multitudes away. So Jesus did that, and then we're told in the text here that Jesus went up into a mountain by himself to do what? To pray. To pray. He was in that mountain several hours praying. We're told that he was there into the evening hours. And by the time we find him walking on the water to his disciples in the boat, it was now about the fourth watch. And the fourth watch was always the time of nighttime, if you want, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the fourth watch. The ship was in the midst of the sea. The wind was contrary. The ship was tossed with the waves. Was hard rowing for these seasoned mariners. Most of the disciples, the apostles, were fishermen that plied the waters of the Sea of Galilee. When out in the darkness, the fourth watch, sometime between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the sea, what should appear? But Jesus, coming towards them, towards the boat, walking on the water. Put yourself into the shoes of one of the disciples. What would you be thinking about now? Christ was probably in a white robe affair. And so it would be, I suppose, seen a little bit, even in the darkness. Maybe it was getting towards, you know, the last part of the fourth watch, and things were starting to lighten up a little bit. But the disciples were fearful, obviously, I think we would have been as well if we were there. And they thought that they had seen a ghost out there on the water. If they're still awake at this time of day, they're probably pretty tired. Maybe they've been rowing unsuccessfully to get anywhere in the boisterous sea. They see this image. They cry out in fear. But Jesus cries out to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Well, this was most unusual. Never had seen anything like this before. A man walking on the water. It's almost unbelievable. But nonetheless, it was true. Jesus was there in the midst of the sea, boisterous waves and wind, walking towards them on the water. Not swimming. He wasn't doing the front crawl or the breaststroke or the backstroke. He was walking on the water towards them. He encourages them, "Be of good cheer." that would certainly be a welcome encouragement, I think, to them. "It is I, be not afraid." Well, this being most unusual, almost unbelievable, what was not unbelievable is Peter. Wouldn't expect anything different from Peter, it seems. He says, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." That's Peter, isn't it? Don't think anything different for him for making such a statement. And Jesus simply says to him, "Come." Wow, that's that would have been an amazing thing. Peter got up out of the ship, walked on the water to Jesus. Can you imagine what that would have been like? This is no little shallow area with stones underneath that he's walking on. This is the Sea of Galilee, which is quite deep. This is most unusual. And now Peter himself is walking on the water, a true miracle itself. Now it appears that Peter did really well. He did fine as he was walking on the water to the Lord Jesus until he took his eyes off of Christ and began to look at the wind and the waves all around him, boisterous, boiling. And when he began to look at the wind boisterous and the water in turmoil, he got afraid, we're told, and he began to sink. I've always had the picture in my mind for as long as I've known this story that Peter's sinking was not a drop into the water, but it was a slow sinking, because we're told that in the text that beginning to sink, Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." If you're looking for something short and sweet to ask the Lord, this is pretty good, right? "Lord, save me." He's not talking about spirit salvation or eternal salvation. He's asking the Lord to save him from drowning, from falling into the waters and drowning. "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached out his hand, pulled him up, got into the boat, and immediately there was calm over the whole sea. The wind stopped, the waves would have stopped. Immediate calm. Such is the power of the Lord Jesus, not only for himself to walk on water, but to get Peter to walk on water, and then to calm everything once they got into the boat. Which means then that while they're walking on the water, things are pretty boisterous. I can't imagine how that would have been an easy thing to walk on waves that are going up and down. But they did. And we believe it to be a true account that Matthew is recording here. So as long as Peter had his eyes on the Lord, he did okay. And I suspect if he had kept his eyes squarely fixed on Jesus as he walked, he would have made it all the way. But he got distracted. He saw all the turmoil around him. He got afraid and he began to sink. Peter's perfect vision was keeping his eyes on Christ. As long as he had his eyes on Christ, he did okay. He maintained the miraculous walking on the water. He walked above the turmoil of the waves and through the boisterous wind as he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. What great things might we do for God if we would keep our eyes on Christ? Personally, I think that walking on water would only be a, quote, drop in the bucket compared to the things that we could do for Jesus Christ in our lives even today. So in 2020, to have perfect vision, what do we need to do? Keep our eyes on Christ, squarely on our Savior, on our Lord and our God. It is our perfect vision. It is our strength for life. And we could do some amazing things for God, keeping our eyes on Christ. But maybe some of you will say, well, you know, this is 2019, 2020. Jesus ascended back into heaven 2,000 years ago. I've never seen the Lord Jesus with my physical eyes. How can I keep my eyes on Christ? Good question. Remember after the resurrection, Thomas wasn't there for that first time, but he was there a week later, 8 days later. And Jesus, when he showed up in the room where the disciples were, immediately said to Thomas, "Hey, Thomas, here, look, my hands, my feet, my side, put your fingers there." Because Thomas said, "If I can't put my fingers in the hands of the holes where the nails were, I won't believe." And so Jesus went right to him the second time round when Thomas was there. And Thomas immediately, I don't think he ever put his fingers in the holes in his hands or feet, but immediately Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He recognized and understood that this was Jesus who loved him and died on the cross for him. And in response to that, I need to look it up here. John 20, verse 29, Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." We may not be able to see the Lord Jesus with our physical eyes today, but we can still see him, and we can still be blessed, having not seen physically, but believe on him with our spiritual eyesight, and we can find that blessing. So there is a place even for our situation today. Not only that, but I think a further answer to that question, how can I keep my eyes on Christ when we can't see him physically, is related to the Word of God. Remember in John 1:1, it says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, John said, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then down in verse 17, same chapter, we're told that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ is literally the Word of God. And we have it recorded, we have it translated into our own languages. So I'm suggesting to you that when you have your nose in this book, you are looking, having your eyes on the Lord Jesus. He is the living Word. And when we get into his Word, the Bible, we are keeping our eyes on Christ. So the Word of God, the Bible, is essentially the face of Christ, which we need to keep our eyes fixed on. So we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that means we're going to be fixed on his Word and be in his Word on a regular and daily basis. Let his Word abide in you. His Word abide in you, and you will see the Lord Jesus. In John 14, Jesus said to his disciple Philip, who said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Well, we can apply the same logic here. If you are in the Word of God, in the Bible, you have seen Jesus Christ. In Luke 44, Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus, to those two that were walking beside him, he opened up the scriptures and showed them all things that were said in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning him. wherever you open the Bible, you will see the Lord Jesus. So I'm suggesting that we be in his word even more this coming year. We can't see him face to face or eyeball to eyeball right now, but we can see Jesus in his word. Let this word guide you into those things that will please him. And our perfect vision is to keep to the word of God. If we stay here, then we will see what needs to be seen, what will please the Father, what will exalt our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us keep our eyes on Christ in 2020 that we might have that perfect vision. And who knows? Maybe this year we'll actually get to see him face to face. When he comes in the rapture to bring all believers up to meet him in the clouds of the air, we will see the Lord face to face. Won't that be an amazing experience? And for Christ to return in 2020, perfect vision, we'll get to see him. That kind of fits together in my thinking. I'm not giving you any dates or anything like that, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if Christ returned this year? It would fit nicely, don't you think? And all our faith and belief in him would be fully realized as we see him face to face. So 2020 is going to be a great year, looking forward to it, and we'll keep our eyes always fixed on Christ and have that perfect vision. So every time you're writing your checks or writing a letter and so whatever, putting a date down, and you write 2020, remind yourself, keep my eyes fixed on Jesus for perfect vision. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us this morning. We thank you for your word as well, and how much it relates to even where we are even today. And I thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the inspired word and even our good English translation that we have as well. And pray that we might be good students of the word, that we might be good Bereans, that we would search the scriptures daily and be in your word so that we might know your will for us, that we might have opportunity to please you in all that we do. We pray that you would just give us perfect vision for this new year that's almost upon us, and we trust, Lord, will be pleasing in thy sight. Bless your word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.